Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5 will serve as our text this morning to begin our lesson. Luke chapter 5, and while you're turning there, I want to add my welcome to everybody who is here. And if you're visiting, should you be a visitor, you're greatly welcomed. You're such an encouragement to the brethren here at Terre Haute, I know. And to the brethren at Terre Haute, I commend your work. Every time I come back, it's growing, and that's a great sign, and I encourage you to keep on keeping on doing the great work here. Read with me the book of Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets, for it draweth." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that it began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which are partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want to think with you this morning, just for a few moments, about becoming expert fishermen. There may be some among us today who believe they already are expert fishermen. In fact, you may be. I don't know. What I want to think about in these 11 verses of our text is what made these men so good at what they did? What made them experts at being fishermen? And I want to think with you today whether or not what made them so good at being fishermen will help you and I become expert fishermen in the world. Think with me. What made these men so good at what they did? I want to notice three things about these fishermen in Luke 5, 1 through 11. Number one is they thoroughly and methodically and meticulously cared for their equipment. Did you notice in Luke 5 and verse 2, the Bible says that these fishermen were doing what? They were washing their nets. They were washing their nets. Why were they washing their nets, you may wonder? Well, when they were casting up their nets and dragging it through the water, it may have caught some rocks or pebbles or sediment or sand. So they were washing and cleaning their nets so that the next time they used their nets, that they would have full use of their nets. You notice in the book of Matthew 4 and verse 21, also Mark chapter 1 and verse 19, that the fishermen, they were mending their nets. What does it mean to mend a net? It means that perhaps the net drug over a rock, or it had some contact with some junk in the water and it tore a hole in their net. So they had to mend to sew their nets back together. These fishermen cared for their equipment. Whatever equipment they were using, they cared for it thoroughly and methodically. Now listen, all successful workers care for their tools and for their equipment. It doesn't matter what job that they're in, whether it's a carpenter, whether it's an accountant, whether it's an engineer, whatever tools and equipment they have, they care for their equipment. That's what makes these fishermen so successful. But also, these men were successful because they worked. In the book of Luke 5 and verse 5 again, the Bible says, Jesus says, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." What does Simon say in verse 5? "Master, we have toiled how long?" "We have toiled all night long." You might underscore those words, all night long. These men were successful not only because they cared for their equipment, their nets, and whatever else they used, but they were also hard workers. Hard workers. How long do they work? They worked all night long. These men worked hard. Do you know the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 that whatever your hand finds to do with what? To do it with all of your might. And then in Colossians 3 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul said that whatever you do, do it heartily as unto who? As unto the Lord, not unto man. So work hard. These men worked hard. But they also worked long. They worked all night long. You recall when the Apostle Paul met with the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 and verse 31, he says, I want to remind you of something. I want you to remember something that I did not stop warning you. I was working day and night. I was working night and day. Paul was a hard worker, wasn't he? And that's why Paul was successful in his spiritual endeavors. Where Jared read for us in the book of 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. Notice all of the difficulties that Paul had. He was shipwrecked, he was beaten, he was hungry, he was thirsty, he was naked. He had all of these issues, but as you notice at the end of the reading, he says, besides all of these things, I have the daily care, not weekly care, the daily care for the churches. Paul was a hard worker, he was a long worker. And may I remind you that these men were not only hard workers and long workers, but they worked at a non-glorious job. Let me remind you what these men in Luke 5 did. They went out into the water, cast out their nets, caught slimy animals, brought them into shore, and cleaned them and sold them at markets. They were not lawyers. They were not tax collectors. They were not members of the government. They worked at a non-glorious job, but they did it, and they did it well. That's what made these men successful, partly. Go back and read the book of Nehemiah, chapter 3, perhaps this afternoon. And as they were building the wall back up in the city of Jerusalem, the book of Nehemiah 3 catalogs all of the families that were involved in building their different parts of the wall. This family built this part of the wall. And next to them, this family built this part of the wall. And next to them, this family built this part of the wall, and on and on and on. This was not a glorious job. The folks in the book of Nehemiah, they worked hard, they worked long at a non-glorious job. But that's why they were able to successfully re-erect the wall of Jerusalem. But I want to show you something else in the book of Luke 5. These men were successful because they cared for their equipment. They were successful because they were hard workers. But also they were successful because they were willing to listen to somebody who knew more than they did and put that knowledge to use. Again, in the book of Luke, chapter 5, and verse 4, Jesus says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. He's speaking to somebody who had just been fishing for all night long and caught nothing. I wonder if I was living in those days, just a regular Joe Blow walking down the street. I said, Peter, I know that you've been fishing all night long, but I have this feeling that if you launch out your nets once again, that you would catch all kinds of fish. Would you recommend that Peter listen to me, who knows nothing about fishing? Well, of course not. He would just shift off with his work and not listen to what I had to say. But what did he say to Jesus? Master, we have toiled all night long, and we have taken nothing. Now hear these profound words. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Simply because of who said it, simply because Jesus was the one who said to go and take your boats and your nets back out into the water, simply because it was the Son of God, Peter listened. Why? Because he knew Jesus knew more than he did and was willing to apply that knowledge. That's what made these fishermen so good at what they did. Did you know that so many stunt their growth because they're not willing to humble themselves and ask the simplest of questions to figure out what is going on? They'd rather get their dander up and in a prideful way not ask those questions. I remind you in the book of Acts 8, 31 through 35, the man of Ethiopia who was traveling back to his home was reading what we now know as the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And he didn't understand what he was reading, did he? When Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? And later on, when he was reading about the fellow in the book of Isaiah 53, he asked a very simple question. Is Isaiah talking about himself or somebody else? Now, this man of Ethiopia was a higher up in Ethiopia. He had charge of all the treasure of Candace the queen. But he was humble enough to realize Philip knew more than he did, and he was willing to listen to Philip and put it into action, just like Peter was in the book of Luke 5. These fishermen were successful because they cared for the equipment, because they worked hard and they were willing to listen to somebody who knew more than they did. Now here's the question. Will those same attributes help you and I become expert fishermen? I'm so thankful that God has not called upon Larry R. Payne II to actually go out and catch fish in order to garner salvation for my soul. I like to fish. I like to go out in Florida and fish, but I want to catch a shark. I want to catch one of those big fish. But all I catch are what are known as puffer fish. They just puff up and they're poisonous on the inside. I don't want that. But I'm thankful that God did not say, Larry, I want you to go out and catch these fish in order to please me. I don't want that, God said. I want you to be fishers of what? I want you to be fishers of men. And I want to be successful at being a fisherman, and I trust that you do as well. And I submit to you that what made these fishermen in Luke 5 so successful will make you and I successful at being fishers of men as well. Number one, you and I have to care meticulously and methodically for our equipment. We're not using nets, we're not using rods, we're not using boats. However, that does not mean that you and I do not have tools and equipment that we use as being fishers of men. Think about some of the tools and equipment that you have at your disposal. What about this book? According to the book of Ephesians 6 and verse 17, this is the sword of the Spirit. This is the word of God. This is what we draw men with to God, to Christ. I must care for this piece of equipment like it's the most important piece of equipment that I have, and in fact it is. What should I do with this piece of equipment? Well, first off, I should study it, right? 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I need to read this book, study this book, meditate upon this book, put it into action, know it from front to back, back to front, from A to Z. Because this is my piece of equipment in becoming a successful fisherman. I must care for my equipment and care for it meticulously. Here's some other tools and equipment. What about prayer? Isn't prayer important? The Bible says to pray without what? Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 17, that when you and I have a home Bible study with somebody or have a spiritual conversation with somebody, we pray that the seed that we have sown will find good lodging in a good and honest heart. We pray, and we pray daily. Another tool is our faith. We must maintain a strong and vibrant faith. For I know, according to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, that without faith it is what? It is impossible to please Him, to please God. There are going to be tough times when it comes to being a fisher of men. Just like there are tough times when you're an actual fisherman. You may fish all day long and not get a bite, like the men in Luke 5. But you must have persistence and you must have faith that things will work out in the end. Not everybody you invite to services is going to say yes. Not everybody you invite to have a home Bible study is going to say yes, yes. Not every fish that you try to catch is going to be caught. But I must have a strong, vibrant faith that eventually things will work hard, work out. What about this? This is part of my equipment, my mind, my heart. I must take care of my heart. I must protect my heart. Proverbs 4, 23 through 27, the Bible says to guard your heart with all what? Guard your heart, guard your mind with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. I need to care for my equipment, just like the fishermen did in Luke 5. Take care of my sword. Use my sword. Know how to use my sword. Pray. Have a strong faith. Guard my heart. Now here's a lesson that I need to learn as well as everybody else here. That poor maintenance of my tools and my equipment will lead to poor results. That has always been true and it always will be true. Poor maintenance of our tools and our equipment will lead to poor results every single time. Down in Florida, we had a fellow who was working on some PVC pipe, and part of it was sticking out of the wall, and he was working on it. And I said, can I help you? Sure, why don't you just take this saw and start sawing off right here on this line on the PVC pipe. So I got the saw and I just started sawing, sawing, sawing. All of a sudden it started going crooked. Something was wrong here. And the fellow looked at it and says, Larry, you're going to have to learn to use that saw better. And he's probably right. So he said, let me show you how to do it. So he got down there and he started sawing, sawing, sawing. All of a sudden his started going crooked too. You know what was wrong? It wasn't the sawers that was the problem. It was the saw itself. It was the tool. His poor maintenance of that tool led to a poor result. When I poorly care for my sword and poorly care for my prayer and for my faith and for my heart, it will lead to poor results. And I don't want poor results, do you? As I am a fisher of men. But just like these men in Luke 5 also were hard workers, I too, if I want to be successful at being a fisher of men, I must work hard, I must work long, and I must be willing to work at what I would call non-glorious jobs. This is why this is often referred to as personal what? As personal work. That's why so many people don't involve themselves in it, because that's exactly what it is. It is personal work. Turn with me back in your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah chapter 2. If you were to think in the Word of God of books that contain hard workers, it would be the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, of course, is a book of restoration. They are rebuilding the wall. And involves a lot of work. I want you to notice just a few verses in the book of Nehemiah. First chapter 2 and in verse 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for what? They strengthened their hands for this good work. A little further on in the book of Nehemiah chapter 4 and in verse 6. If I were to ask you how many days did it take the Jews to rebuild the walls once they started, you should know that it took 52 days for them to re-erect the wall. What a wonderful thing they did. I wonder how they did it. Well, Nehemiah 4:6 answers that question, doesn't it? So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. How did they do it? The people had a mind to what? They had a mind to work. They were hard workers. And then Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 3. I remind you that there was a couple of fellows who tortured Nehemiah and his workers by the name of Sanballat and Tobiah. We've heard of these fellows before. They just came after Nehemiah again and again and again to come up and to meet with them to get him away from the important work of the wall. Notice Nehemiah's response in Nehemiah 6 and in verse 3. He says, I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? You might highlight that question there. Why should the work stop? Why should it? Why should the work of the Lord stop? Why should the work of being fishers of men stop? Should it? It should never stop. Look at the wonderful attitude of the folks in the book of Nehemiah. We must work like the Son of God, according to John 4 and verse 34. My meat is to do the will of my Father. Jesus was a hard worker. Not only was he a hard worker, he finished the work that God had given to him, according to John 17, verse 4, and by his own words on the cross, when he said, it is what? It is finished. And may I remind you, just like it was for these men who went out and caught these animals and cleaned them and sold them, not all the work in the Lord's church is visible. It's not all public. It's not all quote-unquote glorious. There may be some work that you do that other people see, and they may or may not come up to you and say, I'm thankful for your work. I know that all of you realize there's a lot of work that goes on at Terre Haute or at O'Galley down in Florida that's behind the scenes where nobody knows about it, and it's not always the most glorious work, but it's vital work in order for the Lord's church to work and succeed. If you want to be a fisher of men, a successful fisher of men, you're going to have to work hard. I'm going to have to work hard. I'm going to have to work long. I may have to work into the wee hours of the night or of the morning to be a successful fisher of men. And finally, just like it was for these fellows in the book of Luke 5, they were successful because they were willing to listen to somebody who knew more than they did. I must be willing to listen to the Son of God. You must be willing to acquiesce to the request and the commands of the Son of God without question. That's what Peter did. Now, I've been fishing all night long, but because you said it, Jesus, because you, the Son of God, said it, I'm going to let down the nets. And because Jesus said to do this or that in our life, because of who said it, that's what I'm going to do. That's what will make you and I successful as a fisher of men. John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, you can fill the rest of it in, can you not? If you love me, you'll keep what? You'll keep my commandments. Which of the commandments must I keep in order to prove that I love the Son of God? All of them, including those that concern themselves with being fishers of men. In John 15, verse 14, Jesus says, you are my friends if, that's a big if, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Are we willing to listen to the Son of God who most certainly knows more than us, knows more than you, knows more than me, he knows more than all? Are we willing to listen to him and put into practice those things that he has said and commanded? In the book of Luke 6, as a final verse this morning, Luke 6 and verse 46. The Bible's full of great questions, and this is one of them. Jesus says, why? Why do you call me Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I'm going to tell you, that question is full of information there. Not just the question itself, but what Jesus is inferring in that question. You know what Jesus is inferring in that question? That Jesus might be my, he is my Savior. Because he went to the cross and shed his blood and gave his body as a sacrifice for me. He's your Savior and he's my Savior, and that he'll always be. But I do not have the right to call him my Lord and my Master, which is really the idea of Lord. My Lord and my Master, he is not my Lord and he is not my Master if I do not the things he tells me. Did you realize that? That's a sad, scary state to be in when he is not my Lord and he is not my Master. The fishermen were willing to listen to him and launch out again. And what was the result? It was a great catch of fish. The eunuch was willing to listen to Philip, who knew more than he did, and the result was the salvation of his soul and much rejoicing. Now the question is, who among us today will listen to the Son of God and his commands and put them into action, and the result today will be a glorious result as well? Make him your Lord and make him your Master. There's a lot of lost souls in the world today, is there not? Jesus knew what he was talking about when he says the fields are ready for what? The fields are ready for harvesting, but I need some harvesters, if you will. The world is full of fish waiting to be caught. Lost souls. Who's going to catch them? These men serve as a great example in Luke 5, 1 through 11. What made them so successful will make you successful as well. If you're with us today, perhaps you have never made Jesus your Lord. He died for you. He died so that you could be saved. He died so that your sins could be washed away in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1 and verse 5, just like it was done for Saul in Acts 22 and verse 16. He is your Savior. The question now is, will you make him your Lord? How do you make him your Lord? By doing what he commands. No doubt you've heard what this book has to say about our lost condition, that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. What are we going to do about that? We'll do what the Bible says, right? We listen to one who knows more than we do. That's the Son of God. He said in John 8 and verse 24, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. In addition to that, he said in Luke 13, 3 and 5, except you repent, you all shall likewise perish. He also said in the book of Matthew 10, verse 32, that if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. And it was the Son of God who knows all who said, he that believeth baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, verse 16. Beyond that, it was the Prince of Peace who said in Revelation 2, in verse 10, be thou faithful until death, and thou shalt receive a crown of life. Those are all the words of the Son of God. Those are all the words of the same exact one who told Peter to launch out again. The great results were there in Luke 5. Now we're looking for great results here today. If you need to be baptized, we encourage you to take care of that today. Perhaps you are a child of God. Perhaps at one time you were a great fisher of men, but you've fallen off the boat, if you will. It's time to get back on. It's time to get back on and get on with your life with an intact relationship with God. If you are a child of God and are wayfaring, we want to pray with you, pray for you, and pray to God that all can be as it should. Come now as we stand and as we sing.